In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. How many of you have heard that verse before? Okay, now, of those, how many of you, Philippians 4:13 is your favorite verse? We got a few, right? But I think we'll see a few more here. How many of you have that verse written somewhere in your house, on a locker, right? On your shoes, right? It's one of those I would call, you know, a power verse in the New Testament, that people quote this, people hang on to it all the time. Really remarkable. Now, I said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I was watching the movie Soul Surfer a few years ago, and the family in Soul Surfer are a great Christian family. And in the moment where she was really struggling, the father quotes this verse and he says, remember, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And boy, my hair stood on its end immediately. I thought, oh, this is Hollywood trying to take Christ out of the verse. And this was an example where Hollywood taught me something about the Bible. So I opened up my Bible and it does say through him who gives me strength. I've added Christ as I've known and loved this verse, but I want to tell you the him that it refers to is Jesus Christ. It's referring back to Lord in verse 10, which is referring to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as I quote it throughout the day, don't be mad at me for adding something that's not in there, because it's not exaggerating the verse one bit. Good morning to you. Welcome to Fellowship Church. Man, I'm glad y'all are here. Are you happy to be here today? Yeah, isn't worship great? Man, just to come in the presence of God. If you are visiting with us, I want to say welcome to you. Whether you have been here 10 times or been here 10 years or been here one time, I guess 30 minutes, the way we communicate as a church is on the communication card, which is on the far right side of your message notes. We would love to know what God is doing in your life. We want to get with you, help you learn about the church, help you learn about Jesus. You can tear that off, and on your way out, we have offering boxes by the doors. You can place that in there. You have shown up today on the third week of a series called Promised by God, where we're looking at some of the incredible promises of God. Today in Philippians 4:13, we learn this promise, I can do all things. So I want you to write that at the top of your message notes. I can do all things. And as soon as we write it, we need to ask ourselves, is this a promise? Because it's distinctly different than last week where God himself is speaking, I will never leave you or forsake you. And it's distinctly different from next week where Jesus is going to tell the thief on the cross, this day you will be with me in paradise. Really, this is just Paul kind of reflecting on his own life, isn't it? I mean, this is a personal proclamation by Paul. But I've got a secret for you in case you haven't figured this out yet. This whole book is a promise. It's a promise by God for salvation in Jesus Christ, for eternity in heaven, for life that is found in Jesus that can transform you and me out of the doldrums that this world offers us in sin and in death to real life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This whole thing is a promise to us. And I guarantee you what Paul said is truth. All right, now, if Paul can be changed by the life of Jesus Christ and he can make this proclamation about himself, I can do all things through Christ, then I guarantee you this, we can make that proclamation about ourselves just the same as Paul did. Guys, if it was truth 2,000 years ago, guess what? It's truth today in Jesus Christ. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Truth just doesn't change. Now, those of you who know me know that I'm not an artist, so you're going to have to bear with me here. But I wonder if anybody can guess, what am I drawing up here? Stock market? No. You know, Rocky Mountains? No, actually not that either. And it's not the Rattler at Fiesta Texas or something like that. But what I'm drawing happens to be the way that we perceive our life circumstances. I'm also not a professional pensman either, so you have to bear with me here. Unfortunately, life shapes up a lot like this, doesn't it? And we don't have control over the mountaintops and the valleys, do we? We don't have control over when we're going to enter into this season or when we're going to enter into this season. Those things are under the control of the Lord who blesses our lives through it all. So all of us could say that our life circumstances would look something along this line, but I have a feeling a lot of you, as soon as I said that, were thinking something more like this, that, well, this also happens to look just like my emotions. Because not only do I experience a mountaintop, but man, when I'm in this mountaintop, I'm elated and my life is just wonderful. Oh, my life is so horrible, right? And my emotions also look like the Rattler. Guys, I want to tell you something, that this should be life. It doesn't have to be emotion. It doesn't have to be feeling. Now, some people see their life like this, and so they take Philippians 4:13, and they try to use Philippians 4:13 as kind of a genie in a bottle to control their life, right? But Philippians 4:13 doesn't mean that we're not going to have seasons. We are still going to have highs and lows in life. Philippians 4:13, people say, oh, I want to just cut off the mountaintops. I want to raise up the valleys so that my life is like the Great Plains in the panhandle. It's not going to do that. The verse doesn't do that. Now, some people think Philippians 4:13 is supposed to mean that I'm not supposed to struggle. It doesn't do that either. Right? In fact, we're going to see in a minute that Paul wouldn't have said these words if it didn't imply struggle was going to be there. Philippians 4:13 doesn't mean that God doesn't have a will for you in Christ Jesus. So some people say, so I can be president because I can do all things. Yes, you could be president of the United States, but I think we would be wise to seek out God's will for our lives in Christ Jesus. Now, what does it mean, right? If I can't rub the Bible like a lamp and God pop out and wield his power for me, what does it mean? Let's go into Philippians 4 in verse 10. Let's figure this out together. Paul writes this, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. It's kind of a strange verse for Paul. Right, we envision Paul as this great man of God, that he is, absolutely, but Paul is being vulnerable right here, saying, you are concerned for me. You had reason to be concerned for me because I was doing pretty bad. That's the reason that he's writing this, and you didn't have opportunity to come to me. Right, Paul wanted them to, he needed them to come to him. So he says this in verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. How important it is to be content in all circumstances. In verse 12, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, right? So life will go up and down. Paul would have said, yeah, this has been my life too. Village to village, town to town. It happens to be a roller coaster at different times in life. In verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What a statement. Or what a proclamation, right? It's not about what Paul wants to do. It's about God giving him the ability right where he's planted him. It's not something easy, or Paul wouldn't have had to say this verse. He wouldn't have had to remind the Philippian church about it. In fact, we keep reading. He says, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. See, he's still on the same theme right here. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Again, Paul is being pretty vulnerable. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once again. Isn't it amazing how crucial the interaction of relationship is right here? How crucial it was to Paul's life. They were walking together in a love relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, if you just skip down a few verses to verse 19, Paul writes this, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Now, there's a promise, and that's awesome right there. And it is intimately tied, verse 19 is intimately tied together with verse 13. Paul is talking about God's provision. He's talking about how God is there for him and how he can find the presence of God. I wish we had a whole Sunday for verse 19, but I feel like the Lord has been wanting us just to hammer out Philippians 4:13. Church, I believe with all of my heart that you can live with the same attitude that Paul lived with in Philippians 4:13. Let's figure out how to do it. You might want to write these down. He starts off, number one, he says, "I can." I want you just to write down, "I can." And then, man, as soon as I hear that, I want to talk myself out of it, okay? This is not a self-help verse. Don't make it that. All right? And don't think for a minute that saying "I can" is about Paul, because Paul was very clear. This was about Christ in him. It wasn't about him. But here's the point why I want to say "I can." Because your attitude affects everything in your life. And some of you wake up in the morning and you put your feet on the ground with the attitude of, "I can't do anything through Christ who strengthens me." That's not what the verse says. But when we wake up with that attitude, thinking, "Oh, God's not going to use me, God's not for me, I can't do this today," then we don't even give God the opportunity to do anything in our life. We build a wall up between us and God before he even has a chance to do the miraculous in our life, which is exactly what he wants us to do. In fact, if you turn with me to Psalm 100, such an incredible psalm. Psalm 100 in verses 1 and 2, David says this. It says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." The way that I memorized it was, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." Three times in two verses, he's commanding us to be joyful. And this is about the presence of the Lord, right? His attitude becomes our attitude. And our attitude has so much to do here with entering into the presence of God and giving God the opportunity to do amazing things in our life. Let's look back at this scenario here for just a moment. When do you have a good attitude on this board? Ooh, right here, right? Like, that's pretty obvious. Let's skip over this area. This is a good attitude, but certainly not as good an attitude as up here. And then, oh yeah, over here, I would have a real good attitude in that point, right? And everybody loves me on the mountaintop. When do you have a bad attitude? Well, we don't really want to mention this part right here, right? But certainly this would be, you know, really, when does a bad attitude start? It starts about right here when we realize that things are going south, doesn't it? But what if we had an external source? What if there was something up here? And in fact, what if there was a source that wasn't even on the whiteboard at all? What if there was a source that was even greater and outside of this life that we're living in, that we could look to, that our eyes could be fastened on? That's exactly what Christ is for us, right? What a difference it would make in our lives if right here we were fastened on Christ. If right here we were fastened with our eyes on Christ. If right here we were looking at the work of Jesus Christ. I wonder if we would mind the mountains and valleys at all in our life. See, then we wouldn't see the highs and lows, but we would see how his power can overcome anything. Then we wouldn't see the highs and lows, but we would see how he can use us in any circumstance. Paul says, I can. Here's the second thing. He says, I can do all things. I just want you to write that, do all things. Because somewhere in our Christian life, we forget that we can do all things. Sometimes people want to rewrite this verse in their own mind and heart to say, I can do all of the small things that God wants to do in my life, but not anything big. And that's not what the verse says. He can do all things through Christ. Let's be reminded in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Jesus has sent out the 72 and they've returned to him. And it says this, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And that's power. And I always smile a little bit when people actually are holding snakes and they're actually stepping on scorpions with this verse, because it's so spiritual. Everything in these verses is about what they were doing when they were out. They weren't juggling snakes and stepping on scorpions when they were out. Spirits were fleeing. See, we're reminded in this passage that physical things have spiritual things attached to them. Church, by the power of Jesus Christ, you have power over those things. You can do all things. Why do we believe that we can't do all things? Sometimes they're just too hard, right? That's why it's important that this is God's power. God's power who spoke into nothing and created everything. That's pretty good power on the power scale of things, okay? This is God's power, not your power. Why do we have trouble believing that we can do all things? Well, sometimes we look at it, it's just going to take too long to accomplish it. Right? Like Noah building the ark. Like Abram traveling from Ur to Canaan. We seem to have a history in the Bible that shows us that God is not a microwave God, but that he's concerned about the journey. When he calls us to do something, we say, that's going to be too hard. No, he wants to use that journey to shape us. Sometimes I think the journey is more important to the Lord than the actual outcome, because he wants to mold you and shape you in that journey. Church, all throughout the Bible, we see God's power at work in normal people, just like you and I, to enable them to do all things. Remember in the book of Genesis, God gave Joseph the ability to interpret dreams. Remember in the book of Exodus, God allowed Moses to part the Red Sea. In the book of Leviticus, God gave the Israelites an ability to be holy. In Numbers, Balaam's donkey spoke. Deuteronomy, Israelites could choose life. Joshua, mighty walls were made to fall down. In Judges, Gideon could conquer the Midianites. In Ruth, she found herself a kinsman redeemer. In 1 Samuel, David slew a giant. In 2 Samuel, David found forgiveness from God. 1 Kings, God gave Solomon the ability to have wisdom. 2 Kings, Elisha raised a son from the dead. 1 Chronicles, David was a mighty king. 2 Chronicles, God gave Solomon the ability to build an incredible temple. Ezra, Zerubbabel could rebuild that temple when it had fallen. Nehemiah, the walls of Jerusalem could be rebuilt. Esther, she could save her people. Job was granted the perspective to endure through suffering. In Psalms, people worshiped God. Proverbs, people gleaned wisdom. Ecclesiastes, people had the advantage of hindsight through the Lord. A Song of Solomon, the joy of sexual pleasure. Isaiah, detailed prophecy about the cross. Jeremiah, God prepared a nation for exile. And Lamentations, Jeremiah could see God's heart break for sin. Ezekiel, visions of eternity burst forth. Daniel, kingdoms are known in advance. Hosea, he could love an unfaithful wife. Joel, he could prophesy God's judgment. Amos, God gives the ability to weigh and measure Israel's sin. Obadiah, people see the truth about Edom. Jonah, he survived in the belly of a fish. Micah, he names the location of Christ's birth. Nahum, people see the truth about Nineveh. Habakkuk, God shows the ability to have righteousness by faith. Zephaniah, Judah can prepare for the day of the Lord. Haggai, Zerubbabel is given the courage to rebuild the temple. Zechariah, Joshua was enabled to stand clean before the Lord. And in Malachi, people were prompted to give and see God's provision. Now, church, yeah, praise the Lord. Church, what is it that your God can't do in your life? Look at what Scripture unfolds for us. Can we do all things through Christ? Do we serve the same God as this God of the Bible? He has taken people like you and me and doing miraculous, incredible things with them. Now, I love this. You see, the New Testament's just a little bit different than the Old Testament because now we see this New Testament and Christ's power within us to enable us to do incredible things. In Matthew, the lion of the tribe of Judah is revealed for you and I. In Mark, the servant of the Lord is made known. In Luke, we have hope that is found in Jesus Christ for all mankind. In the book of John, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, he died for our sins. He rises from the dead and he gives us forgiveness and life. Praise the Lord. In Acts, the Holy Spirit turns disciples into apostles, changing nations. Romans, righteousness is made ours by faith. 1 Corinthians, the union of the church helps believers. 2 Corinthians, our weakness makes Christ's strength perfect. Galatians, we can live by the Spirit. Ephesians, we have the full armor of God. Philippians, God will complete the work that he started in you until the day of Christ Jesus. Colossians, Christ is in us. He is the hope of glory. 1 Thessalonians, we can hope in the return of Christ. 2 Thessalonians, we can be prepared when that day comes. 1 Timothy, we learn the marks of discipleship. 2 Timothy, we can be approved by God. In Titus, we are renewed by the Holy Spirit. In Philemon, we learn to love our brother. Hebrews, we can walk by faith. James, our works can match our faith. 1 Peter, we can be holy before our God. 2 Peter, our election and calling can be sure. 1 John, God's love conquers and covers us. 2 John, we can walk in truth and love. 3 John, we can be faithful in our service of God. Jude, we can persevere in the Lord. And in the last book, in the book of Revelation, no matter what persecution comes, Jesus Christ is a faithful and the true witness, the Alpha and the Omega, and he is coming back for his bride, the church, and we will be with him for eternity. Now, church, what is it that you're facing? And what is it that your God can't do through Jesus Christ? How does God want to use you for his glory? What does this whiteboard look like in light of the biblical counsel? In light of the record of God's revelation? You know, I have a feeling that maybe these valleys don't seem so low, but maybe God's actually given us opportunities in these valleys. What a perspective God's truth gives us. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. Here's the second, the third thing, through Christ. You could actually say, I can do all things in Christ as well in the translation. How do we do something through another or in another? I think there's two ways. I think the first way is immersion. It's stepping up with our feet to the edge of the pool and jumping into the diving board and knowing I'm not going to be able to touch the bottom or the side where I jump. It's stepping up to this thing called Christianity, to this thing called love in the Lord Jesus Christ, making him our Savior, and jumping in with both feet, immersing yourself in everything that he is. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, if you turn there with me, you find a verse that many people have memorized. Paul writes this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now that's immersion right there. We die his death. We live his life. His ways become our ways. There's not a place where Jonathan ends and Christ begins. No, the whole picture is Christ in me, living in Jonathan. I think there's a second way, not only just immersion, but the King James Version of the Bible translates this verse. He says, the life I live by faith of the Son of God. And I love what that change does to the verse. Because now suddenly we learn by observation. Now suddenly Christ is the example for us. And I think that that's a very good thing that we see throughout Scripture. See, we don't get the excuse of saying, well, Jesus was the Son of God. How many of us say that from time to time? Don't look at me. He was the Son of God. Yet Christ looks at us and says, you'll be able to do even greater things than he did. We don't have that excuse. He is a model for us to pattern our lives after. You know, there's so many examples throughout Scripture of lives that have been immersed and followed God and followed Christ. This week in our life groups, the church is going to be looking at the life of Noah and how God called him to build this ark. Is there anything more challenging, right? There hasn't been rain on the earth, and you're going to have to build this huge ark, and just believe me that when I say I'm going to send the rain, and oh, by the way, you're going to have to deal with all of these animals, right? Feces is what that means, okay? And so I'm just speaking it from a burn it perspective. I understand working with animals. And Noah followed God. We're going to be looking at that story. This week, you have another opportunity to sign up for life groups in the foyer. Boy, if you're not involved, I pray that you would choose to be. We have a lot of examples today of people who have immersed themselves in Christ. I got to be with two such families the first week of January in Romania. And Brandon and Becky George and Paul and Jessica Ebel, who were sent out from our church. Some of us on this side of the Atlantic Ocean buy shoe boxes and we box them up to send overseas to places that need Christmas gifts. God has blessed Brandon and Becky with the opportunity to grab those gifts and put them in people's hands when they show up. I want us to watch this video of what God is using them to do in Romania and be encouraged. Now, the truth is, Brandon and Becky and Paul and Jessica were sitting here just a few years ago just praying and being available to the Lord. And they didn't wait until God sent them to Romania to start serving the Lord. They were changing lives right over here, wherever they went. And I was so encouraged to see them there in Dragonesht Olt, where they can barely speak any of the language. They're struggling to pick up the language, but people love them. People in the marketplace love them, and it has nothing to do with being an American, because they don't love Americans. They love them because the love of Christ is bursting forth from them in a dark place. Do you operate in and through Christ? You know, you can have a chance to see firsthand what the Georges and Ebels are doing. We're taking a trip the third week of July. If you would love to go, we would love for you to go with us. And we get to partner with them in the work there on the ground. The deadline to sign up for that trip is March the 6th. So you have some time to pray and think about if the Lord would send you as well. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ who strengthens me. You see, Psalm 73:26 says, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Though my heart and my flesh would fail, God is that strength. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Let me ask you, church, where do you find your strength? You know, we have those things that either give us life or they bring us death. You know how there's people that either make you feel better about yourself or they suck life out of you? You know those type of people? We all know those people. There's things in life that do that. Now, for me, playing the piano has always been one of those life-giving things for me. I've played the piano since I was a boy. I could always sit down, you know, with Beethoven or Bach and just leave feeling better. But there was still some emptiness, right, that I would leave and think, why am I not being carried further by the strength of, oh, that just was great. How come I'm not being carried further? And the reason was that no matter how great fishing can be, no matter how great golf can be, or how great being together with your friends can be, if that isn't built in Christ, then you're not going to have the strength in it to propel you to what you need strength for. It was when I realized that Bach wrote at the bottom of all of his pieces, Soli Deo Gloria, which means for the glory of God alone, that my perspective started changing when I was practicing Bach. To praise God in the practice, Lord, this is for your glory. Even the mastermind that put this together, this is for your glory. To take times after the practice and just play a hymn or play a worship song and just praise God in that. Wow, what a difference the strength made in my life. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Is he your strength? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for the reminder from your word of who you've called us to be, what we can be in you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Father, to understand Philippians 4:13. Father, help us to hide it deep down in our heart so when that time of struggle comes, it can come forth, Lord, naturally and by your Spirit, and we can live like the life of an overcomer. God, we just give you praise for the things that you show us and demonstrate to us in your word. God, keep these things on our mind and on our heart. How we love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.